Hello, welcome back to the Creative Differences Podcast, one of the last groups of people not currently in a rap beef with Drake. My name is Dallas, and I need to talk to John Disney about Bo DeMaio, because I need answers. There's no reason for you to fire this man after what he did. X-Men 97 is too fire. Something happened. What happened? Tell me what happened.
Hi, I'm Gabby, and speak for yourself. I always got beef with Drake.
That's why I specify rap beef, because I knew that you were going to say that. I was like, we are not laying down any tracks.
That's true. I cannot rap. I'd need Dallas to be my ghostwriter for that.
I got it.
Yo, honestly, do that. I'm Kathy, and Drake's going to come back later, sort of.
Okay.
I have a feeling I know why. And I'm Demi, and I'm going to be honest, my brain is not fully in this episode because I'm super stoked that Renee Rapp is performing at Coachella today. And I can't.
She's
wait.
Like, we got to go.
Got to go. We have to be done. Welcome to another episode of the Creative Differences Podcast. Come for the movie reviews. Stay for the thirst. Today.
You worked it in.
I did. It's your one-stop shop for movie reviews, fancast, Fridays, throwback Thursdays, and a number of other pop culture related items. Well, like I said, you should stay for the thirst. Today, we will be discussing Monkey Man and... Unfortunately, we are an audio-only podcast. This only works for video, but in case you guys don't understand the reference, we're also talking about Invincible Season 2.
I love it. Cassie, did you miss that in the chat?
Cassie missed that in the chat.
It looks very confused. Got it. All right, that was late night Instagram chat. I don't think Cassie...
It was late.
...chat anymore. But that's...
Yeah. I am, but I don't get notifications about it for some reason.
Oh, that's what's happening. I thought you just didn't like us.
Oh, no, I love you.
Oh, thanks.
No, that's what it is. It's because I got rid of my social media apps, including Instagram, so now I don't get the notifications, so I don't see this stuff. Yeah.
That'll do it.
You know what? Okay. You did the smart thing. I turned on the time limits on my social media today, and I've already gone through it. So.
And then it's like, well, I can just increase the time limit. So really, it didn't work for me. I had to get rid of them.
Yeah, that's fair.
I can... But also, I need some of these because I got to promote this show. But anyway, let's do our thing. Let's go.
Our thing. Before we get started, please like, share, subscribe, hit buttons, hit bells, tell everybody in the world. Because it has been one business week of me waking up early, and I'm already sick of this 9-to-5 stuff. So I am ready to become a full-time podcaster. Somebody help.
Also, he had to kick me out of his house on Tuesday night, and I'm not happy.
I didn't
about
like it.
It
felt weird. To me, be hanging out
it wasn't
at my
great.
House until the wee hours of the morning. But I have a job. So I was like, y'all got to go.
Yep. Aww. And it was 10:30. It was crazy.
Yeah, like early bedtime. Anyway.
To be fair, I had work that I needed to go home and do anyway. So.
That's fair. It probably helped. All right. So you want to start with Monkey Man? Or you want to start with Invincible?
Yeah, I guess we're starting with Monkey Man. Yeah. Monkey Man, which is directed and written by Dev Patel. It is also written by Paul. Oh my gosh. I hope I don't mess up your name, man. Unganawella and John Coley. And it stars Dev Patel, Shartul Copley, Peter Bash, Vipin Sharma, and Sikander Kher. And the IMDb summary is, an anonymous young man unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his mother and continue to systemically victimize the poor and powerless.
Damn, yep, I want to see that. I just haven't answered. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the synopsis. That's for sure what's happening. It was a good movie. It was really good. It's not as John Wick as I mean, that's a lie. It gets real John Wick in the third act.
Love that.
But the first two acts, there's a lot more story than I was anticipating.
Okay.
A lot more drama, a lot more substance to go with our ass kickery.
Nice.
Which is not necessarily ever a bad thing, in my opinion. I do appreciate when movies actually try and tell a story. We talked about this last review, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it was really good. Dev Patel, it does an amazing job at directing as well as starring in the movie, as well as co-writing, apparently. One of the fun things to me as a filmmaker is, like, because Dev Patel is like a first-time filmmaker, it's like kind of cool to see, like, oh, here's a trick that you kind of used to do this, or oh, here's a trick that you kind of used to do this, or here's a bit of like what might seem like a mistake, but it's working in your favor. Because, like, I know for a fact that he shot several scenes on, like, an iPhone.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they had a lot of production issues throughout. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's one scene where I was watching and I was like, ah, yes, that got real pixely real quick. But it works for this scene.
Okay.
So
okay.
I got to give it to you. It's that first-time filmmaker resourcefulness. And you can see it on screen. And I really like that. The story is very interesting. I was not expecting all the trans solidarity that is in this
movie. Oh, that's interesting.
I was like, oh, this is nice. This is wonderful. This is beautiful. I love this. And I think it was like the week after like Trans Visibility Day. Yeah. So I was like, oh, perfectly timed release.
Look at that. Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me. Not me and not the two other people who went to see the movie with me. It was wonderful. It was joyous, wholesome. Love to see it. There is plenty of violence. There is plenty of blood for all you guys out there who love that type of stuff. I do really like that since it's not very John Wick, it's not very John Wick-ish in the sense that when we watch John Wick get beat up or beat up other people, we're like, oh, this man is obviously very skilled at what he does.
Right.
This guy is not. Like, this man.
He's like, I'm mad.
Yo, he'll mess up at like the moment where you think that this man is, yes, he's going to get it. It's going right here. He's going to take him down right here. Nope.
I like that. I like it.
Yeah, it was very nice. And this scene is actually like, I'm going to say, talk about this particular moment because it's in one of the trailers. I never saw it until I saw the movie and it was hysterical and I'm glad I didn't see it in the trailer. But there's a moment where like he's trying to escape a building and he sees a window. And it's like, either go out that window or go back to where these guys are shooting at you. Mm-hmm. And so he does the action movie thing. You go for the window and he runs at it and he slams the side of his body into it. And then nothing happens. He just kind of falls back and kind of injured his shoulder trying to go through this window.
That's great.
It's pretty great. But yeah, it's a pretty good movie all around. It's a good story. It's a great story about vengeance. I was very much thinking about that as the movie was coming to an end, of like what it was trying to say about vengeance and what happens when people go for vengeance and whether it's a good thing or whether this is something that people should strive for. It did make me question, like, we watch all these revenge movies and you do root for the main character, obviously, to get their revenge, but also like, it's very unhealthy.
Yeah.
It's a very unhealthy way of processing whatever you're going through. So we really shouldn't be rooting for these people to get revenge. You really should be like, hey, man, maybe you should process this and see a therapist.
Yes.
And talk about your feelings. Because, yes, it's super upsetting that the powers that be and these men murdered your mother. Also, you're killing a lot of people in the process of getting your vengeance.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, it's just like, is that really helping? I mean, do you feel better at the end of all that? Is that good for you?
To me, sometimes you have to, is it kill them all or slaughter them all like animals? I can't remember the exact line.
Slaughtered them. I slaughtered them like animals.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it seemed like you felt better after that.
I don't know if it was a great idea, though, but I mean, whatever.
Like, he went straight into the dark side after that.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you just, it is what it is. It really made me think about that. And I appreciate a movie that makes me think about those types of thematic elements. Especially because I was like, man, all these vengeance movies kind of end. Like, sometimes you'll get like the vengeance movie where the guy will stop on the big boss and be like, you're right, it's not worth it. But then by that point, I'm just like, but you done killed everybody else.
I know.
Like,
just finish it off, buddy. Like, finish it. You just took so many people out this world. Right. For
so
what?
Many henchmen who didn't. The henchmen had nothing to
they
do with it.
They just work
their,
here,
their
bro.
Their henchmen wives here. Are like, no.
But the big bad get to live? What you mean? Like, at this point, you just got to do it.
Exactly. Just do it. Just finish it.
But yeah, Monkey Man's a really good movie. I can see why Jordan Peele saw it and was like, nah, we ain't putting this on streaming. Put that in a theater.
Yeah.
But I feel that way about most movies. I feel like they should all go to theaters. That's just how I feel. If you're into movies like John Wick and other sorts of vengeance movies like that, check out Monkey Man. It is very, very good. Glory to Hanuman as
Yeah.
Hey.
As our boy Baku says.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on, guys. We are now going to be talking about
Are we going to be able to say the name? We're going to do that every time?
No, we're going to be like the first episode of season 2 that had us all pissed off.
Right. Just keep edging everybody with the name. Anyway.
Ooh,
now we're going to say it. That's what they did. If you watch the show, you get it.
That is what they did.
Okay.
Invincible. It is created by Robert Kirkman, who created the comics Invincible. He also wrote The Walking Dead and Marvel Zombies. The man likes his zombies and his violence. It stars everybody and their mama, primarily Steven Young, Sandra Oh, J.K. Simmons, Zazie Beetz. But honestly, think of a voice actor, they're probably in the show Invincible, some of them multiple times. Greta Delisle.
Also, Jillian Jacobson.
Jillian Jacobs, Britta, I want to say Jillian Jacobs.
Jillian Jacobs.
Yeah, there we go.
It is Jacobs.
Yeah, it's Greta. Yeah, she's great. Shout out Adam Eve.
Yeah, Adam Eve is amazing.
Yeah, it's based on the Image comics of the same name, and the IMDb summary is an adult animated series based on the Skybound Image comic about a teenager whose father is the most powerful superhero on the planet. Yeah, it's season two, so things have changed. It's still fire. It slaps. It's cinema. It's amazing. I didn't love...
It's amazing. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't love the four-month gap in between the first and second half of the season.
It's insane. You can't put a four-month hiatus between a four-episode first half and a four-episode second half.
You gave us a month for each episode we had seen, and we just had to wait that amount of time. It's ridiculous.
And then we came back, and I was like, oh, man, what happened?
Right. Whose white baby is that? It's not a white baby. It's purple.
Purple baby is that?
Yeah. So, show's amazing. I have a couple of things that are like, I would have gone a different route. And I'll just knock those out first, because most of what I have to say is just bigging up the show. There's a lot of moving pieces to the point where it's like 8 episodes split up with 4 months. Maybe don't have so many different things going on with all your storylines, because
there was a lot going on.
So much. You introduced, shout out Sterling K. Brown, velvety voice, handsome man, too talented. But you introduce him in the beginning, and clearly he's going to be our big bad. And then we go like 6 episodes without really seeing him, and then he comes back for the finale, and it's like, oh, right, him.
That feels racist.
Interesting.
He was very good in that last episode, though.
He was amazing, and it's just a weird way to do your show, because you have so much going on that you're like, yeah, we'll start and end with our main antagonist, but in between, here are 10 other plot lines. But they do them all well, and that's the thing. It's like, it's too much food, but you made all the food. Well, I want to eat all the food. Maybe don't put so much on my plate.
Food.
Right. But yeah,
this season was really good. But yeah, there was a lot going on, man. All right, where do I begin? Where do I want to start with?
You want to start with Amber?
I know where I want to start. Yeah, I'm gonna start with Amber.
Of course,
I've been on the Amber Defense Squad since season one. Dallas can attest to this. I will fight in these streets over Amber, and I just want to thank the show for finally vindicating me and my thoughts about everything that happened in season one, because they basically said I was right in the show. And
good for you.
I appreciate it. All y'all Amber haters, how does it feel? How do you like that? I'm really glad that they did that, though. I thought that was fantastic writing. I liked that they didn't make her feel like the disposable ex-girlfriend just so that Mark can end up with Adam Eve. That became a very big concern of mine.
Right.
And I felt that the way that their relationship happens over season two was really realistic. And I also really like that they really did touch on a lot of the things that I thought about after watching season one, a lot of how Mark's behavior in season one emulates a lot of his father. Mm-hmm. And everybody was rooting for Mark's side of things. And I was like, but he's just behaving the same way his dad behaves with his mother, which we have seen is a bad thing. Like, he's becoming more and more like his dad. And that's not good for Amber. And it's not fair to her either to have to live her life with the threat of danger without knowing that her life is in the threat of danger. Like, that's not fair to anyone.
Yeah.
And like, I understand the secret identity thing. I understand people who were just like, but you can't just reveal your secret identity to some random girl. And it's just like,
is she a random girl? Is she?
I mean, it's his girlfriend of a couple months.
Okay.
You're right. You don't have to reveal your secret identity to her, but like, at the very least, you can just be like, I don't have time for a relationship.
Yeah. You don't.
Like, it's not hard.
The daddy told you.
Like, you know that you don't have time, so don't waste her time. Like, why? But yeah, I'm glad that the show touched on that. I love Mark. I've always loved Mark. I've always loved the fact that this show, to me, feels like you take Spider-Man and put Spider-Man in the Boys universe.
Right. It's, yeah, make it a lot rougher, is when you expect Peter Parker, who's like 15, to go fight a bunch of violent, homicidal people. It's not going to work out that way.
His character development this season, too, was phenomenal.
That last episode
destroyed me. I felt so bad, but I also was like, hey man, you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes. Like, because ain't nobody touching my mama like that.
Oh nah.
Period.
He had to go. And I feel you, Mark. You don't want to be like your daddy. You do your best to try to be a nice, wholesome boy. Sometimes you gotta drop a body. I'm sorry to be like that. But I will say, I also love Mark. And on the Amber piece, I was obviously not on the Amber hate train. I was not on the same exact level of Aping for Amber that Demi was, because I felt like both of them could have used a lesson in communication. And this season, they actually communicated, and it made me so happy.
Very well.
And then it made me so sad. There's a line in the show where he says, "I'm still a terrible boyfriend. She just knows why now." And that whole episode, it's so painful. But the show was so good at making relationship dynamics as interesting as Pow Pow, we're punching people, because it's written very well. Yes.
The best character on the show is Mark's mom. I'm sorry.
Debbie.
It is what it is. Debbie's the best. Debbie Grayson is amazing and deserves all the best things in the world. And she should, somebody should give her all the best things in the world, because that woman has gone through too much.
Yeah.
She's raising her ex-husband, new baby. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot. She ain't asked for none of this.
It's too much. Poor Debbie. It's a lot. It's a lot going on. Shout out Debbie. She's a real one. No powers.
She's a G.
Just holding it down.
Holding it down, bruv.
Yeah, like, outside of family dynamics, even the superhero stuff, obviously there are a thousand million superhero shows and movies, but they manage to make it interesting every time with this show. They go forward. Robert Kirkman is, I don't know how to describe this man, but some of the stuff they do in the show is very upsetting, but it leads to, it's not just like, we're going to make it gory and violent for gore and violence sake. Like, it leads to important stories. Like Rexplode, it's a face turn, and he wasn't a villain. He was just a dick. He almost dies and he becomes a better person. I love it.
Rex was when I knew that they were really, really good with all these characters, because that was a really good Rexplode and not Homelander, dear God, Omni-Man. they did really good jobs with both of those character development moments,
and
making them feel real and not making it feel like, well, this character is here now because we need them to be here now. Like, no, it feels natural that this is where these characters would end up. And I look forward to seeing how everything works out in season 3, especially with where we left off in season 2.
Same. Also, big shout out Alan the Alien. Seth Rogen is playing him in such a way that I want him to be protected at all costs, which if you've seen the show, you know that he has not been. So going forward,
nobody protects our boy except for Mark. Mark protected him.
Mark's great.
Because Immortal tried to come at him and Mark was like, what in the world, man?
Yeah. Simmer down, old ass man. But yeah, great show. There's too much to talk about. We obviously don't have time to cover everything, because despite the fact that it's only 8 episodes, there are 1,000 characters.
And a lot happens in those 8 episodes.
So much happens.
And to be fair, while a lot does happen, I don't feel cheated out of anything.
Right.
I do feel like there were a lot of storylines, because I remember me and you were talking about how are they even going to finish up all these storylines?
Yeah.
I do feel like a number of them concluded and came to their closing in a satisfactory way. And then the one that there's one big overarching storyline that has to continue, obviously.
Yeah.
So we don't expect that to have like a conclusion by the end of the season. But the other ones, like the smaller storylines, I do feel like those got tied up pretty neatly.
Yeah, they know what they're doing over there. They cooking. Shout out to everybody at Invincible.
Let them cook.
Let them cook. Great show. I will watch it forever if it goes. You know, shows don't do that, but I'll watch it as long as it goes for. I'm here for it.
I mean, Grey's Anatomy has been going on forever. 10 minute
That's
takes.
True.
Speaking of Grey's Anatomy, Cassie.
Not Grey's Anatomy.
Because you like Grey's Anatomy. It's because you like Grey's Anatomy.
I don't know
it's
if I like Grey's Anatomy.
It's because you've been watching it.
See, that's the thing. I don't know if I like it. I was watching it, and then I dropped it because it was like, this is not making me feel good. Anyway, that's not what we're here for.
Oh, my God. That happened to me.
Yeah.
I was ugly crying over my computer at 3 a.m. during like season 2. And I was like, I can't keep
season
doing
two,
this.
Girl.
And I stopped watching it.
First season is so good.
I was like, yeah, I think there was like the bomb episode. And I was just crying. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why am I doing this? I was like, no, I'm done. I think a few episodes later, I was like, I think we're done here. I
made it midway through season 10 and it wasn't worth it. I did see the musical episode, though, which is hideous.
I've heard that's like horrible,
it's
but amazing.
So bad. I love it.
Oh, tragic.
Anyway, so wrapping back around to the beginning of the show, tangentially, I said that Drake would come back because
I know.
So
Degrassi?
Yes.
Oh boy.
And one of the problems, so I think I watched the right one, because what I watched was Degrassi the Next Generation.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the right one.
I was looking for just Degrassi, and I was like, that doesn't exist.
No.
It's just that, but Next Generation sounded like a sequel.
I can explain.
The Next Generation is a sequel.
Yes, it is a sequel.
The original came out in the 80s.
It was like a, how do I put it? Oh, I know.
After
so, you know,
special.
But let me tell you what the Next Generation like connection is. There was like a teen pregnancy in the original one. And then the main girl from the show. I think her name is Cassie or something. Is that correct?
No. So Spike. Spike had a baby.
Emma? Yeah, Spike had a baby.
In the original show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole episode where she has the baby. And then when we come into the Next Generation, the first storyline that we get is actually of her daughter.
Emma. Yes, that's the one. Emma, that's her name. Emma. I couldn't remember the daughter's name. And that's what it is.
I know too many of these characters' names. But Cassie, tell us about the first 10 minutes. I did a rewatch of this show like literally last year, so I'm fascinated.
Okay, first 10 minutes. Emma is in her bedroom with Manny, I think. And they're looking at email because she's been emailing some dude who's like some kid who's into like nature preservation or some shit. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm in love with him. He's so cute. I want to like meet him somehow and be with him forever. And he said, love you in this email. Oh, my God. Which I guess Manny is down for, even though it sounds like she could get stabbed. This could actually be like a 50-year-old man. But anyway.
Yeah.
Then the mom's like, yo, we got to go. Get off that. You're always on that computer. Get off.
millennials,
yeah.
Parents.
Yeah.
Gen X.
So let's see. I can't remember like when things cut in because there's too many goddamn characters. They go to the school, and there's another kid whose name I believe is JT. I don't know what he has to do with anything. He's around. They're, like, dropping stuff off.
Speaking of getting stabbed, I'm sorry.
Whoa, he's getting stabbed?
I know, you're right.
Oh, rest in peace.
Season 6.
Rest in peace.
I hope he deserves it. Anyway.
No, he doesn't.
Same.
That was what made it tragic.
He was, like, the best character, apparently.
Mm. He'd be like that out in them streets. So they're dropping
he
stuff
was a teen
off,
dad.
I guess.
I mean, they gave her up for adoption, though.
They're dropping stuff off to a teacher. I can't remember his. I can't remember anyone's name.
They're like helping set up for the school to open back, open up for the year or something like that.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. They drop stuff off. The kids. JP's wearing a fedora. The teacher takes it, which I get because it belonged to. I don't know. Fuck. It's too much. Let's see. What the fuck else? They go to. There's a computer lab that's like new. And Emma's like, I want to email my love from there because she got an email from him right before she had to leave. There's also someone else. There's a guy named Joey who's a car dealership dude. And he's talking to some lady whose name I don't remember. Black lady. Very nice. And she's like, you're not coming to the reunion. Your wife died a year ago. You need to get over it. And he's like, no.
What?
She doesn't say exactly that. But she does say like, hey, your wife died a year ago. Come on now. And then there's also
probably more like get out of the house.
Some other white woman who is on the cover of a magazine and is talking to her husband, like, I want you to meet my friends. And he's like, no, I'm in Hollywood or something. I don't know. I don't know who these people are.
That's probably Caitlin.
Sure, we'll go with that. Yeah, I think it is. I don't remember. Fuck.
Because you mentioned Joey and Caitlin have a whole thing.
Okay. Yeah. Emma. Well, that's at the end. But then the adults all meet up at the school for various reasons, and they're, like, talking about, hey, we were here, and we have memories or something. Joey and Caitlin share a significant
These are
book.
All OG characters.
Cool, okay.
The show.
And then I think the 10 minutes ends with Emma getting an email from her lover saying he's going to be in town and wants to meet her tomorrow. Oh, my God. And that's where the 10 minutes end.
If you know the type of show that Degrassi is, you know exactly where this episode is heading. Actually, I think it's a two-parter episode, too.
It is, because it's
so
a part one.
So he's a grown man.
He is indeed a grown man, and I think it ends... I think the episode ends with Emma meeting him at the hotel that he's staying at.
Yeah, this show is, like, after school special.
This sounds like could have tipped into Euphoria.
No. This was like, I say that there's like a scale. There's like Degrassi, and then it goes to like Skins, and then it's Euphoria.
Gotcha.
Euphoria
okay.
is crazy.
Cool.
Degrassi was like, I started watching that show at like 12 or 13. I learned so much about life from Degrassi.
It's like, it's an after school special show. It's like, you know, let's kind learn of. About sketchy things in a small, contained, not super violent.
But also, let's like, learn about sexuality. Let's learn about mental health. Let's learn about like all these things that will actually be beneficial for you to know as a teenager. Yeah. But so many things about myself that I should have realized while watching Degrassi, but didn't. So
I mean, I'm trying to unpack all that.
Yeah, I don't.
So you're saying it didn't work? No, I'm just kidding.
It worked. I just didn't know it was working.
Cassie, what did you think of the first? What is your 10-minute take on the 10 minutes of Degrassi?
Mostly, just it felt like a lot, and just so many characters, and having to keep track of who's who and who's with the. How do you know? And it's like it definitely feels like I'm coming into something that it existed previously, right? Like, it feels like I should have watched the original show to at least know who half of these characters were and then get to know the kids. But yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't know.
I forgot that the first two episodes are kind of also a reunion episode. A number of the adult characters that you meet in that episode become guest stars, not so much...
That
like
or
like
better.
Recurring characters, not so much stars of the show. Snake and Spike stay on for quite a while because Spike is the mother of like one
Snake?
Of her characters. Because
I got that Spike was
no,
a nickname.
His name is Archibald.
I'd go back to
Snake. Archibald is better.
I
can see why he was like Snake.
I don't know why I remember that so vividly. And I said it like without any sort of hesitation.
I never knew that nigga's name. I just remember like, why do they have these biker gang ass names for these regular white people? Snake and Spike.
That's why. And it's funny because I feel like we only get introduced to like four of the teenagers in these first two episodes, which are Emma, Manny, Toby, and JT.
Oh, fuck, Toby. I forgot about
What about
Toby
Liberty? Liberty's not there yet?
I don't know if Liberty's in the first two episodes because it's before school starts. Once school starts, that's when we start meeting like all of these daggone kids, which is like we're following like 10, 12 kids at any given point.
And then they start graduating and there's more of them that get worked in. And then eventually.
But it's an ensemble show. And we only follow a few kids every episode. Like, it's like every kid in like their drama for like this episode.
Yeah.
And then how they all sort of, you know, they all know each other from school. So they interconnect and weave around each other in certain ways.
Yeah, but you got to get the Black Kid expansion pack for Liberty. You can't just start with Liberty and Drake and all them.
Got it.
Yeah.
I just thought she was one of like the original like core. That's why I was surprised she wasn't in the first episode. But
no, because they didn't really like Liberty at first.
Those
she
racist.
Sounds racist.
Well, no, it's because she was the brown noser. She was the bookworm know it all.
Gets pregnant. That's so messed up.
She was the brown.
Yeah, she's the one who ends up getting pregnant.
Hey, Dallas.
All right then. That's a choice.
Oof.
But yeah, she was the one who was always like kissing up to the teachers. I remember there being one episode where like some of the kids thought that she was having a relationship with a teacher because the teacher was giving her far more attention. It turned out she had dyscalculia, which is how I learned about what dyscalculia is.
What is that?
It's like dyslexia, but with math.
I was about to say, it sounds like number dyslexia.
Got it.
Yeah.
What I do like about Degrassi is a lot of like people that are now like really famous Canadian actors started on Degrassi. Like Nina Dobrev started there. Yeah. If you were like a child actor that now is famous, probably started
on Degrassi.
Probably on Degrassi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how
it's
we get back
Degrassi
to Drake.
Or like, what's the name? Yeah. Or Drake. Yeah. Drake's probably the biggest one that came out of there, but it's either like Degrassi or I think it's called Heartland. It's either Degrassi or Heartland.
Oh, I've heard of Heartland, too. I think I've seen a couple episodes.
Every Latino parent ever is obsessed with Heartland because it's horses and it's drama.
What?
And that's
every
all.
Every Latino parent a horse girl?
Yes! Like, right.
I so much.
My parents dream of having lots of land for some reason with horses. Yes. And they're like, it's a ranch with horses and everyone's nice and the stakes are low, but there is a lot of drama and it's been going on for like 15 years. So
that era of teen television was phenomenal. We had Degrassi. We had Instant Star. We had South of Nowhere.
Canada.
Well, I think South of Nowhere was from LA because the show takes place in LA.
Oh, I thought
but Instant
was
Star
a
was from Canada.
Show. Oh,
I could have sworn it was American.
No, you're probably right.
Because it takes place in LA. I remember it taking place in LA.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with that show.
Yeah, you're right. It is American.
Instant Star had a bunch of good bops. So good. Alex Johnson, man. Degrassi was a time.
Yeah. Also, Noggin. I used to watch Noggin a lot. So
Noggin.
All those
Noggin,
Canadian shows.
The End.
They were on. Yeah, they were on. All the Canadian teen shows were on that.
Yep, they were.
Flight 29 Down.
Ooh, I remember that show. That The End is actually how I discovered that Drake had... No, I discovered Drake's music career before all of that, actually. Before The End started playing his music videos on there. I used to listen to Drake when like he was first starting out, when he was still on Degrassi. And then
he started rapping when he was on Degrassi?
I actually prefer his flow from back then.
Aubrey.
His flow now. I like some of these songs, but it's not like the old stuff. I'm a hipster Drake fan.
Oh my God.
Dude, did I tell you?
thing to say.
I was this close to having my baby on his birthday, and I was like, absolutely not.
I remember you saying that.
They were like, yeah, we'll have a baby by the morning. And I was like, we will not. Give me another week, please. And they did.
But yeah, I remember when they started playing Replacement Girl on the N. And I was like, hey, they're showing his stuff on TV now. And then he got super famous. Anyway, that was a 10-minute take.
Yeah. Literally 10 minutes. Alrighty.
Exactly. It's not supposed to be, but hey, man, it is what it is.
Going down a rabbit hole.
Hey, man, Degrassi will take you down some rabbit holes. We could have a whole discussion. There are so many things I could say about that show.
So many teen issues.
So many ships.
So many sunken ships, too.
Oh, my gosh. One of my OTPs sunk. I was so distraught. And it sunk twice. That's what's crazy about it. But anyway. Right? I was like, yo, why are we doing this? Anyway, they sunk twice for dumb reasons, too.
As teen relationships tend to.
At one point, they might have probably still been teenagers. Anyway.
Do neither of you guys have a what you're watching?
Oh.
Oh, well, I'm not watching anything. I am reading something.
What you reading?
I started, it's called A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Oh, you're reading Thorn and Roses.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm reading ACOTAR, and I will say
Emily
this.
Reads that.
It has way less smut in it than the internet said, and y'all are a bunch of liars. This is way more plot heavy. It is way more plot heavy, and I like. Wow. Actually, I kind of prefer it because, how do I put
like
it?
Like Fourth Wing?
Yeah. Actually, less sex than that.
The way people on, talk about that theory.
Fourth Wing has at least two. Oh,
fourth,
you're right.
Fourth this, Wing has one.
You know what? The same as Fourth Wing. No, Fourth Wing has two. It has two spicy scenes.
I feel I like Fourth Wing book back.
I feel like Gabby is the smut
I just
whisperer,
read it. That's why it's
so
to me.
I'm going to defer to her on that.
Well, because I can only think of the scene towards the end when they finally.
But there was the scene before that where they kind of.
There's the kiss.
No, there's another scene. I know there's another scene.
I'm going to need my book back.
Yeah, I'm going to let you borrow my book.
Iron Flame, I can think of several scenes, but Fourth Wing, not necessarily.
Yeah, so...
Continue, though, with ACOTAR.
So the first book has, like, two scenes, because she spends most of the book like, I fucking hate you, bro. I don't want to be here. For context, A Court of Thorns and Roses is essentially Beauty and the Beast. It is Beauty and the Beast in the Fairyland. So it is this young woman called Feyre. She's the daughter of a man that was once rich. She has two older sisters, and they are now destitute. It's winter, and she's just trying to put food on the table. Okay, poor Feyre. Poor pity party Feyre. And she's like hunting, and she sees this deer, and she's like, fuck yeah, I'm about to kill that deer. And then a wolf, a gigantic wolf, comes into the clearing. And she's like, well, that wolf got to die because I'm getting that deer. And so she's like, and I'm going to use this arrow because it's a big ass deer. If this arrow could take down fairies, it'll take down that wolf. And she does. She takes down the wolf, and then she skins it for its fur. And then she also takes down the deer. And she's like, great, my family's going to eat today. And then a couple of days later, this beast bursts through the door of her family's cabin and is like, one of you motherfuckers killed my boy. And now you got to die. One of you, whoever killed him, has to die. And then at the last minute, and she's like, yeah, I'll go. Fuck it. Like, fuck, kill me. Whatever. Can you do it outside, though, so we don't get blood on the carpet? Gangster. And he's like, sure. And then at the last minute, he's like, you know what? Nah, you're coming with me. Basically, the plot to Beauty and the Beast ensues, right? The beast, because it's literally a beast, bursts through the door, takes her with him. And then he does transform himself into a normal person. Looking, but he has a mask on, and then you find out there's a curse, and you don't really find out how to break the curse till literally the last third of the book. But yeah, it's like them,
right.
Yeah, it's them falling in love for two-thirds of the book. That's the first book, and then a bunch of shit changes in the second book. No spoilies, it gets so much fucking better. I have audio listened to these, and I was about to quit because Feyre is no shade, she is kind of a pity party queen.
So I've heard this. Oh my gosh, I remember when Emily was telling me about this book, and every time she would tell me about it, I was like, I don't think I ever want to read this.
Here's the thing, listen to it because it goes by faster. It goes by faster, and then but you realize like she's traumatized because she gets so much better in the second book, and it's basically she gets some agency, she gets confidence, and she starts working on her trauma, and she gets way better. She's still a little bit of a pity party queen. It's way more bearable in the last half of the second book. And no spoilies, because I don't want to ruin anything for anybody, because this book was ruined for me a little bit by Book Talk. It wasn't their fault. I kept digging. but it was a little bit their fault. So yeah, it got ruined a little bit for me by book talk, but I powered through because the only reason I read the second book is because of those spoilies. And it was basically everybody saying the second book was infinitely better, like world better than the first book. I'm not going to lie. The first 150 pages ish, because I was listening to it. So I was like, I don't know how far in we are, but of the second book, I was like, she's annoying. I don't know how much longer I can take this. And then it picked the fuck up. So yeah. So I'm reading A Court of Thorns and Roses. I'm on the third book right now. Feyre is way less annoying.
Good.
And they're dealing with the fallout still a little bit of the second book. What I will say about this author, though, is she'll spend a whole book and you're like, where are we going? And then the last, like, in the case of the audiobook, the last hour and a half, you're like, what is going on? And the action just picks up. So I do recommend these books, even though Feyre is annoying, mostly because the world building is amazing, especially in the second book. She has way more agency in the second book. The lore is great. It's a lot of fun. You can tell the author spent a lot of time thinking about this. And for anybody that's out here like, it's so smutty. It's really not. It's got less sex in it than Game of Thrones. And way less violent sex than Game of Thrones. So
that's good.
I do love this new wave of romanticy. Like, it's great. I love that.
I feel like it's not romanticy. I feel like it's fantasy. But because women like it and it's written by a woman, they're calling it romanticy. But to be honest, it's
plot. I think they're calling the Empyrean series the same too. I think they're calling that romanticy as well.
Yeah, I know. And I feel like this load of bullshit. It's just a fantasy book, my guy. You're just calling it romanticy because women like it and a woman wrote it. That's my thoughts. Especially, again, because Empyrean is like, yeah, there's romance there, but like, it's more about what the hell is going on here. It's more about her surviving. And
it is.
ACOTAR,
let me know when you finally read Iron Flame.
Yeah, I'm saving it because I'm trying to savor it because I don't know when the next book is coming out. So,
oh, she already announced it. She just announced it. It's coming out January 2025. I already pre-ordered my book.
I am going to take my time reading Iron Flame then. I'm probably going to read it in like October or something. Yeah.
I want to I'm going to tell you, with the way that book ends, I actually want to reread both books now because of what's revealed in the second book. So I'm like,
the first book's ending, I was like, what? Did not see that coming.
Second book ending. Oh,
can't wait.
Boy.
So excited. We'll be waiting a long time to read it then.
Yeah, this is like, I haven't been this excited about book releases since the Harry Potter books were coming out.
Honestly, these books are pretty great. All these like book talk books that I've read so far are delightful, and anybody hating on them is just a hater and a little bit sexist, probably.
I pre-ordered the special edition of the next Empyrean book because I have the black pages for my Iron Flame one. The sides are painted black, and the next one is gonna have the sides painted black but with like art etched on it as well. So I'm like, I must have it.
I must keep
the collection going.
Need that.
Exactly. Pre-order now or else they'll run out, because they definitely ran out a lot during when Iron Flame first came out.
Okay.
And it's a day one only thing.
Got it.
Great. Dallas, do you have anything that you've been watching?
I do.
Reading?
I'm going to be really quick because it is one episode, and I promise, audience, that I'm not just going to talk about X-Men every week. But oh my God, this new episode of X-Men 97.
Bro, we're going to do a review.
I know. But nah. I'm not okay.
I'm not okay. Nobody's okay.
Y'all ain't got
watching that episode.
Yo, no, I'm gonna send business. You this. My friend Derek, he made a TikTok. I'm gonna send it to you. But go on.
Please do. This episode. So yeah, last time we were here, I talked about X-Men 97, who created it, Bo DiMaio, who stars in it, everybody.
Last time on Creative Differences. Yeah.
This episode, it's just art. I love it. Like, the way they depict Genosha as the safe haven for mutants was so dope. Everybody vibing, happy. Even the Morlocks are out here out of the sewer, getting some sun. Doing that thing. My boy Nightcrawler shows up. Love Nightcrawler. This is the best Magneto ever. Like, Ian McKellen I love Ian McKellen. He's great. He played Magneto for 56 years, it feels like. But like, every line that Magneto says in this show could be on a poster, a shirt, somebody's IG caption. When he's talking to a white lady at the council and they talk about making him the leader of Genosha, and she's like, most other nations don't allow a terrorist to be their leader. And Magneto says, yet so many allow their leaders to be terrorists. I was like, talk to these niggas, Eric.
Oh, they need to talk to Biden.
Right?
Man. But then there was, Even Scott had, had a real good bar.
We could have talked to these niggas. That class is monologue.
Yo, at the talk show?
Yeah, yeah, Revolutionary Cyclops is coming out full force.
I've seen people put it on the Ether beat, the Like That Kendrick Lamar beat. Keep him coming because he was going in.
That man, he said, I'm Malcolm X today, baby.
He's like, you're not going to have me out here because you're normal. Ooh. Yeah. He said, because you're normal.
And Cyclops.
He said, you people. It got real.
You're right. He did said, you people.
Look at y'all crackers. Cyclops. He's going through it. His marriage with Jean is on the rocks. They got psychic hussy behavior going on. It's
when
so
I
much.
Tell you, my whole reaction to that whole episode was just like, I was distressed. Not even just the third act of the episode, like all the soap opera-y drama that was going on before that even happened. I was like distressed. I was distraught. I was like, my ships are falling apart. People got to get their lives together. We need therapy in this piece. This is a kid show. What are we doing out here?
Everything.
It's not a kid show.
It's not. And then after the episode, to see Bo DiMaio, the showrunner, break his silence finally, first time he's actually discussing the show, that letter that he wrote about the show, I so badly wanted to be like, for all you people who were complaining about the show being woke, this show would not be as good as it is if it wasn't woke.
Right. Definitely wouldn't.
If you didn't have a gay black man with those experiences writing them into the show, this show wouldn't be as good as it is.
But also, if anybody's out here talking about shit about X-Men being woke, you need to...
Always have been.
Honey Bunny, review what X-Men is. Like, get it together.
It's ridiculous. But last thing I will say is that, speaking of the last act of the episode, oh my God. So last time we talked about Jennifer Hale and how she inspired some feelings, different feelings. But Lenore Zahn, who's playing Rogue, yo, like, he is so good. And this isn't on some thirst stuff. This is like a...
Oh, okay.
Just performance, like every line she has, every delivery. Although, you know, I have thirsted over Rogue in my time, but we're not talking about that right now. Just
we all have.
That's not the subject at hand.
We all have. But just that last line that she says and the way the screen cuts to black before she finishes it, I was like, y'all trying to have me cry on my lunch break right now. I can't do it.
And then that tweet that I sent y'all the next day after you finally watched it, I was like, so why is the cast and crew all trying to kill us?
Right. So painful. But shout out Lenore Zahn. Shout out everybody. Gambit got his moment because in the beginning we got...
Oh, my boy Gambit.
Amazing moments from everybody.
Gambit working his way up to being my favorite X-Men period ever.
Feel it.
Just the energy. Pun not intended, but kind of intended. Like,
it's a good one.
Yes. Yes. Everything about him is perfection. I love him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I ship him and Rogue, because Rogue has always been my favorite X-Men. So, you know, put my two faves together.
Love her. But yeah, great, great show. Great episode. Man, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this season, but we'll see. Ooh, and when it's over, we'll review it.
You're going to be all right.
You're going to be all right.
I'm going to do one real, real fast because I literally just started it. I've been watching Jujutsu Kaisen.
Hey.
I do not have anything written down about this show. Sorry. I will put the information in the video on YouTube for all y'all to look at. I do know that it's on Hulu, which also means that it's now on my Disney Plus because I have a Hulu subscription, which is fantastic because I can just go to one app. It's amazing.
Nice. We love it.
It's especially amazing because I cannot get Hulu back up on my TV. So I can actually at least give you guys the synopsis of Jujutsu Kaisen, though, which is a boy swallows a cursed talisman, the finger of a demon, and becomes cursed himself. He enters a shaman's school to be able to locate the demon's other body parts and thus exorcise himself.
Oh, all right.
That's not what I thought the show was going to be about when I started it. It is really good. I am enjoying it so far. I think I've only watched like the first five or six episodes, probably five. I think I stopped at five because I was like, I need to go to bed, and then didn't go to bed until 3 a.m. like a weirdo. But it's really good so far. I think that I just personally am a shonen anime person. I love all these like action hero type shows with the action protagonists who are always extremely wholesome because it's an anime. They make me so happy. They just want to do good for the sake of doing good. I also really like the show because it kind of is a little bit of a blend of My Hero Academia, which is my favorite anime that I've watched so far, and Demon Slayer, which is my second favorite anime that I've watched so far. Because it's got like the supernatural demon element, like Demon Slayer. And hey, we got to fight these demons.
Right.
We don't have swords, but we got to fight these demons. But also it's got like the by the way, there's a school specifically for doing the thing that we're doing in the same way that My Hero Academia has. Right. So I like that. It's really cool. I'm watching the dub mostly because I want to binge it. And I found out that Robbie Damon is one of the characters on the show. And I love Robbie Damon. He's one of my favorite voice actors because he has guest starred on Critical Role so often. And he's such a sweetheart. And I can't even recognize his voice on this show at all. Every time I try and hear for it, I'm like, I can't hear you in this at all. Mm-hmm. So obviously doing a really good job. But yeah, I really like the show so far. I really like the characters, especially Yuji. This is one of the first animes I've watched where the protagonist is probably my favorite character so far. Usually I really like the protagonist, but usually there's one or two other characters that I'm like, I love them. Like, right. For Demon Slayer, it's Inosuke, and for My Hero Academia, it's like Todoroki and Mirio and Momo. My Hero Academia, there's just so many characters like I can choose from, of course. But yeah, this one, I think Yuji is my favorite so far. And I can't wait to continue watching the show because I've been recommended it by several people, so many people, including my younger brother. So yeah, I'm liking it so far. I'm excited to continue. And that takes us to news and trailers.
Trailer tracking, vroom, vroom. Trains tracks don't make that noise. Joker, they're making another Joker movie. This one has Lady Gaga in it, and they're gonna be singing. I don't know how well Joaquin sings, but probably pretty well. It's in a musical.
I think he sings very well. He was in Walk the Line. He was Johnny Cash, wasn't he?
He was.
He did sing in that. He did sing in that. Mm-hmm. He did a pretty good job.
Cool.
As a Johnny Cash fan.
Cool. Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm excited for this movie. I'm curious. I'm going to watch it because the last one was good. And I'm curious about what music
they're saying. Anticipation in a very different way than usual.
Yeah. I'm holding out hope that they use a Lean With It, Rock With It because of his little dance on the stairs that he did in the first movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think they will.
And then Gaga joins in this trailer. She does a little Lean With It, but like really dramatic with a leg kick in this one.
Yeah. Get some Them Franchise Boys in the Joker soundtrack. It would get you a very different audience. Cassie, why are you looking at me like that?
Because you know they are not going to do that.
They're not.
They should.
They're absolutely not going.
Whatever. Let me dream.
Maybe they'll hear this and change their mind.
Hey, Todd Phillips, other people, whoever's involved. I know you
already James Gunn, head of DC Studios, you know.
Yeah, throw a little 2000s hip hop in there.
Yeah, so we have a review for Joker.
We do.
I don't remember what I said in that review.
I remember what I said.
It's like 5 years ago.
I remember what y'all said. Yeah. What I will say is that my feelings on it are that it is a very, very good movie. It is not a movie that I particularly like. So I don't particularly have an interest in seeing the second one outside of the fact that it is a musical. I am fascinated to know how they're going to take the gritty realism of that first movie. And like, yes, I understand the Joker is insane, but like how they're going to blend that in with the very expressive musical genre,
right?
And how that's gonna work. I like Lady Gaga. I think she's a great actress.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna feel the same way about her Harley as I do Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, which is like I prefer the comic version of Harley because, as we know, Harley is as she says in Birds of Prey,
I have a PhD, motherfucker.
This one does not seem like she has a PhD. I think she's just disappointing.
Like, I think she says, like, I'm nobody, I've done nothing in my life. I'm like, girl, you have a PhD. Unless you don't.
I don't think she does. I think she's an inmate. She's not a doctor.
That would piss me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It pisses me off, really?
Here's the thing about these movies. I knew what to expect from Joker. It was going to be a film that has the Joker name on it, but doesn't necessarily feel like the characters from the comic books.
Right.
It's not really a comic book movie. And I feel this. I'm like, this second one's going to be the same thing. I don't have that anticipation, and so then I can't be disappointed when I go into this movie wanting to see the Harley Quinn that I know and love and it not being that Harley Quinn.
Right.
This is going to be a new adaptation and iteration of her, and I hope that it's a really good one, because like I said, I really like Lady Gaga and I love Harley Quinn. It'll be interesting. I will probably see it out of sheer curiosity. I think when the first Joker came out, I was like, I would not go see a sequel, and now I'm like, it's a musical. I kind of want to see what they're doing.
You're like, dang,
I gotta know.
You son of a bitch.
You got me. Exactly. Oh, but also that last shot of the trailer, though, superb. It's just masterful. Oh my God.
It's going to be some good shots.
I like watched that entire shot and I was like, you're not. Are you? You are. How did you pull that off? Because that's so much like Joaquin Phoenix has to know exactly where to put his face, and Lady Gaga has to know exactly where to mark mm-hmm. mirror for that to work. Like is somebody off screen?
You know, somebody
like,
did a lot just, of math. Somebody like, sat somebody, there. Yeah, go
is
ahead.
This just new audio? Like they just cut the audio out. They shot it like without sound. And then like they added all the audio into it so that, you know, they could have the director tell, you know, Joaquin, keep lifting. Stop. I want to know so bad.
Yeah, I got to look at that scene again because I thought the camera moved just a little bit to get him. But no, but he moved.
But
right?
He moves. Yeah. He moves into the smile and it's really good.
It's like you want to know how they did it. Like the way that there's like a shot where like in La La Land, there's like a part where they like put it on Emma and then they spin it and they put it on. What's his face? And then,
oh, the behind the scenes footage yeah, where you just you watch them it, like
and
the
he's whip just tapping. And he's just tapping.
The whip pan.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's tapping until I know when to whip pan. I would like to know. Or like when you see like the Ed Wright,
the Edgar Wright, the dance sequence Soho. In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I saw
and
that
he's
one too.
Literally just popping in and popping out.
That was dope.
The practicality of it is insane.
Yeah. And that's definitely practical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has to
and
be.
And so you gotta, thanks. It'd be fun to see how they do that scene. That said, if she don't have a PhD, it just feels like, how do I put it? I think my issue with the first book was like, it felt like the first movie was that it felt like it was just sexist. And then I don't care if they make her an Inmate, but if you take away her PhD, to me, it just continues that line. But
I mean, we don't know that they're doing that.
Yeah.
It just seems
know.
Like she doesn't work at Arkham. It seems like she is in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if she was a psychologist, psychiatrist, therapist, whatever beforehand, fine. You still did the thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It doesn't look like they did, but
if they do, she might be one of those like really hands-on psychiatrists, which also low-key, that's probably how she got that involved.
That's
Joker,
who Harley
right?
is. Yeah.
And then like they just make her look that drab because she feels empty. She feels like she's missing something. And then when she's finally like being Harley and embodied Harley, that's when you see her like in vibrant clothing. That could be it. I don't know.
We'll see.
I hope that's what it is. I hope that's what it is, because otherwise I'm mad.
All I know is Hildur Guðnadóttir came back and she's dope.
Hey!
So the score's gonna be fire.
So good. She is really good.
All right, that is Joker. Folie à deux. So moving on to our next trailer is Dead Boy Detectives, a Netflix show with a really long trailer that is based on a Neil Gaiman comic book from Vertigo, which is like DC but edgy. So
yeah,
this is it's given like Umbrella Academy vibes.
Yeah,
partially I think because they use My Chemical Romance in the trailer, which I associate with Umbrella Academy for obvious reasons. Reasons being Mr. Chemical Romance.
Gerard. Wrote,
yeah, him. Gerard Chemical Romance. He wrote the Umbrella Academy comics.
You're so stupid. He did? He wrote those?
He did.
Yeah, he wrote those.
Yo, talented. Multi-talented.
That's why they're like that.
It's like the guy that from Nine Inch Nails being like a really amazing composer.
Yeah.
Both of them. There's two of them. Trent Reznor and
Atticus Ross. Yeah.
It's like, I know that you can rock, but damn, you can also like, you know, pinky up.
Right.
Extremely beautiful movies, composure, compositions.
Yeah,
and it's funny because like those dudes will do like David Fincher movies, but then they'll also do Soul for Pixar. And I'm like, wait, you did Soul?
Yeah.
Exactly. The range.
The range.
The range. Anyway.
I have to be honest, I didn't watch this trailer because I got extremely distracted for
that's fair.
For reasons before we started podcasting.
It's okay. Did you watch the Sandman show?
I did watch the Sandman show.
Okay, so it kind of looks like if you took the Sandman and Umbrella Academy and kind of like mixed them in a way that makes the tone a lot more lighthearted than Sandman.
Yeah, because it's fun.
The subject,
fun.
Yeah, the subject seems very Sandman-ish.
Now,
and
I might be getting this wrong, but is this the show that was originally a spinoff to, oh my gosh, that show that we like, Doom Patrol? Because remember, Doom Patrol had that episode of the two dead boy detectives, and that was supposed to be a spinoff. That was supposed to be like a
backdoor pilot.
Like a backdoor pilot, yeah.
That's interesting. I have not heard of that. I can't answer that, but I can say.
Well, while you guys talk about the trailer, I'm going to go look that up.
Cool. The lady who plays Death, I want to say her name is Kirby, in Sandman, is in this show, too, playing Death again.
Like
so,
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. Death? She's my favorite part of that show, because Sandman, honestly,
she is my favorite.
It wasn't really my cup of tea, but I loved her, and I loved her episode. So it's
she
at least
was the
related
reason
to
I
that.
I cried during that show.
I had like a friend that was obsessed with those comics, and her favorite character from the comics was also Death.
Yeah, so it's...
Even in the comics, Death is amazing.
Death is amazing. But yeah, it looks like a fun show. The visuals look really cool. I don't know. Despite the fact that the trailer's freaking long, I don't have a whole lot to say about it.
So I'm not far off. They did have a live action appearance in Doom Patrol. Mm-hmm. It does not appear that this show is connected to that.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess that makes sense. It's just weird DC stuff.
That side of the universe, you know.
Yeah. Also, Brianna Cuoco is in it, and she's in Harley Quinn. She's Harley. No.
She's back.
Yeah, she's Kaylee's little sister. Her big sister? Jason's sister? I don't know who's older. I think Kaylee's older.
Yeah. Oh my God. Brianna was in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, like back in the day.
You don't know what that is?
I love her. I'll explain later. It's okay. Pride and Prejudice related.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I remember that. I've heard of it.
But yeah, it looks like fun. Cassie, you like Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Did you watch this trailer? Did you do the homework?
I did.
Do you care?
I mean, I might check it out. It looks interesting. I like the concept of ghosts solving mysteries for other ghosts. Nice. Paying it forward. Not really paying it forward. They didn't. Anyway.
No one did it for them. Yeah.
Yeah, no. But yeah, I'll probably check it out.
Boys.
Sad boys. Sad boy detectives. But yeah, her name is Kirby Howell Baptiste. She plays Death, and we love her.
She was also in Cruella. Anyway.
Oh my God. Yes, I love her. And she was in the Eve show, the Killing Eve show in season one for sure.
Oh, yes. I've never seen that show. I got
it. Barry,
so good.
Good place.
Cassie saw it.
Veronica Mars. She's in a lot of stuff.
She's amazing.
Yes.
I specifically remember Cruella because I remember watching Cruella and then shortly after The Sandman came out. And I was like, hey, it's her. Hey, she is amazing on this show.
That makes sense. But yeah, those are the trailers. On to some news. Dave Bautista and Eric Nam are in the Avatar show movie.
Woo!
The movie that's animated about Aang when he's older. It's called Aang the Last Airbender. Yep, that's the title.
Maybe. They said it's
cool. Yeah, I think that's a working title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who that's Eric Nam is, but I love Bautista, and I think he'd make a great villain voice.
Apparently, like, also makes K-pop and does some acting. And, but other than that, I don't know much about him.
The other people in this cast are Dion Kwan, Jessica Matten, and Roman Zaragoza.
Yes, I am not familiar. But hey,
my assumption. Nope. I mean, my assumption is that those four, I'm assuming Eric, Dion, Jessica, and Roman will be playing our, like, core four characters, aka, like, Aang.
For, like, what, who's who, but I can't remember. I just know Eric Nam is Aang.
And I think Roman is playing Sokka.
Cool.
Which means Dion and Jessica are probably playing Katara and Toph.
I don't know these people. I'm happy to get another animated Avatar thing. Yeah, that's really cool.
It's one of those things where it's like, I don't need to hear about it. I'm going to watch it. You can tell me about it. That's cool, but I'm going to watch it anyway.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear about it. Like, knowing Batista's in it playing a villain, because Batista is scary. And he's not always playing scary because he got a lot of range. But yeah, let him be a scary Avatar villain.
For the record, guys, there was a lot of news that came out this week due to CinemaCon, and we're not going to discuss all of that because that's a whole episode. That would need to be a whole episode on its own.
Yep. And nope.
But that was part of the Paramount panel.
Ah, gotcha. Speaking of shows Demi likes, they're making a Heroes reboot, and it's from the creator, Tim Kring.
Yeah, the man who gave us Heroes, man. Heroes has had such a large impact on my life. Heroes is the reason why I love superheroes, as a matter of fact. The reason why you hear me talk so much about superheroes is because I initially got hyper fixated on Heroes at the age of 13 or 14, and I've been obsessed ever since. It was legitimately one of my favorite shows of all time. Twitter had that 10 shows to watch to understand me, and Heroes is absolutely like one of the 10 shows of mine that you would have to watch to understand me for sure.
Right.
Because so much of what I love about superheroes comes from that show. My disappointment about this announcement was that it happened the day after an eclipse. How dare you not use the eclipse as a way to market the fact that you're rebooting Heroes?
So close.
Like,
right?
My brother sent me photos of the eclipse that his friend took and that he took. And I kept looking at those pictures that day and was just like, man, it's Heroes. It's just people gonna be getting superpowers. Like, my first thought was literally the show Heroes, and then the next day they're like, hey, we're rebooting the show, and I'm like, where was this announcement yesterday? This is when you needed to announce it yesterday.
I don't know if I trust the show if they didn't take that opportunity.
You missed the opportunity. The universe gave you a gift.
They need to get a new marketing staff.
That in its face. What? But anyway,
new marketing staff needed.
What was it called? Heroes Reborn.
Heroes Reborn. I enjoyed it. It wasn't amazing. I enjoyed it simply because it was one of those things where, like, if you give me Heroes content, I'm going to just be happy with the fact that I have Heroes content. Mm-hmm. But nothing has ever been able to reach what season one was. Season one is one of the best seasons of television. Honestly, you don't have to watch season two, three, four, and Reborn. Honestly, like, if you want to understand me, just watch that first season. But like, if you want to fully understand, definitely watch the rest. But season one, some of the best television ever. Some of the best superhero television on top of that. Just such good writing, such good storylines, such great characters. Save the Cheerleader, Save the World became iconic within like, I want to say that was episode 6 of the show. Episode 6 of a 22 episode season. And we said that for the longest. Like, it, man, it was so good. It was such a good show. And so I'm excited to see what a reboot would be. I think they're saying that this show will revolve around new heroes that are coming about from another eclipse, I'm assuming. So I wonder what new characters they'll bring us. And I hope that they're as lovable and as well written as the characters that we got the first time around, because so many of those characters, I just, like, I still talk about superpowers and still occasionally will reference characters from Heroes. I was talking about Peter Petrelli literally last weekend.
Milo Ventimiglia's power is my favorite superpower because it's all the
That's what we were talking about. We were talking about
that's
the
favorite.
Difference between Rogue and Peter Petrelli, because Rogue does that but has to touch you.
And she
Peter
takes Petrelli your life force, doesn't she?
Yeah, and yeah. Peter can just be near you.
He just needs to be around you. Dude,
take it. But he can't take your knowledge from a normal person the same way that Rogue can. That's the difference there.
That's fair,
I think he couldn't.
I would rather, because in an Avenger situation, Peter Petrelli is like the all-star because he could do everything.
Everything.
So, like, if he's there in New York, he could Hulk out and,
yeah.
I don't know, other things.
It's just so funny because I'm thinking, like, season two had a character that had muscle mimicry, so she was a lot like Taskmaster. I'm remembering that so many of these superpowers that I learned and like knew so in depth, the reason why I know them so well is mostly because of Heroes and not because of reading comic books.
Yeah,
so yeah, Heroes, I'm excited to see what you do, and I hope that it's really, really good. I am hopeful that it lives up to what season one was. Well, close to what season one was. I don't know if you'll ever outdo season one.
Season one was crazy good.
So good. I need to get my season one DVDs back. I own every season except for Reborn on DVD.
Nice.
Because physical copies,
media.
Guys.
Yeah.
Physical media.
They can't take that from you. You already bought it. It's yours.
Exactly. All right, Dallas, what's next up on the list?
Speaking of things that are really, really good, Wunmi Misaku and Hailee Steinfeld are joining Michael B. Jordan in Ryan Coogler's vampire old-timey black movie. I don't know what it's called. I don't think it has a title yet.
Yo, it's untitled. It's giving Interview with a Vampire, the new series.
Except I think Michael B. Jordan's character is going to be more like a Django Unchained type character.
Ooh.
I think that's the storyline, is that he's a black vampire who is going after slave owners.
I am so ready.
Yes.
That sounds like
that's just
sign me
like
the fuck up.
Wrote it for me.
Oh, exactly. God. Yeah.
Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan, everybody. There were Lindos in it.
I love vampires. That's like one of the things, that's one of my brands on this show.
Yes.
I love vampires.
Yeah.
I love Michael B. Jordan. I love Ryan Coogler. Ooh. And you put all those things together.
Can't wait to tell my boyfriend about this. He also loves vampires, specifically Interview with a Vampire. Queen of the Damned is his movie.
But on top of that, like, Delroy Lindo is also going to be in this movie, and he's phenomenal. But now we also have Wunmi Misaku, who I love from Lovecraft Country. She was amazing on that show. She's great on Loki. Like, me and Dallas have discussed our indifference to the show Loki, but I love her on that show. And then we have Hailee Steinfeld, who is wonderful in everything that I've ever seen her in.
She's great.
Or heard her in.
And Stacey.
See, a Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I love the Instagram video that I sent the other day where it was like the character that Hailee Steinfeld will probably be playing, and it was just Hailee Steinfeld being some white slave owner's wife. And I died. That was so funny. But that was also how we discovered that Hailee Steinfeld was
in this movie. Yeah, I was like, wait, Hailee's in this movie?
Yeah.
I can't freaking wait.
This man, Jordan Peele, has me watching horror movies.
No, that's not Jordan Peele. It's Ryan Coogler, my guy.
Oh, shit. I'm so sorry, Ryan. Ryan Coogler. He's same sentiment, though. Ryan Coogler has me watching horror movies.
I'm also really happy to see Ryan Coogler making not Black Panther movies. Like, I love the Black Panther movies. I will always watch a Ryan Coogler Black Panther movie. Don't get me wrong. Those are the best MCU movies, period.
Yeah.
But I also love when directors get to go do something outside of that genre and do other stuff.
Yeah.
And Ryan Coogler is 4 for 4. That man ain't missed. Fruitvale Station, Creed, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. So
Dude,
I'm
that last
to see him
movie
do
ruined my life, but in the best way.
I had a trauma response watching that movie. But I'm looking forward to seeing him do like original ideas that he has.
Yeah.
Again. And Ryan Coogler writing vampires. Oh my gosh.
Yo. What? Because you,
it's going to be so good.
Does it have a release date?
Talented.
I think next year.
Do we know if they've started filming?
No, they haven't started filming yet.
Okay. Where is it taking place? Is it like New Orleans?
In New Orleans?
The South?
Oh, I hope so. The studio has set a March 7th, 2025 release.
That works for me. Put that on my list.
About to put that on my most anticipated list right now. That list isn't even filled out yet. We're about to put that on there.
According to Wikipedia, which take that how you will, principal photography began on April 14th, 2024, which is today.
Literally this week. Oh, today.
Today, right now.
No, it's not starting today. It's Sunday. They ain't gonna work on a Sunday.
Ooh, they're saying Woodmi is playing the female lead and the romantic interest of one of Michael B. Jordan's characters, which makes me so happy because when I saw her listed as like in the movie, I was like, is she the love interest? I hope she's the love interest.
It's gonna be dope. It's gonna be fire.
Oh, Michael B. Jordan is playing dual roles. He's playing twin brothers.
Yeah, I think I knew that one.
I love that. I didn't know that. Two Michael B. Jordans. Yes.
Double the Michael B. Jordan.
He's making everyone's dreams come true.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Let me go put that on my list right now.
I'm
sitting here talking.
Love this so much.
What's next on this list? It's not going to be as great as this, but man.
Well, speaking of movies we like, they're doing The Matrix again. They're making another Matrix movie. And it's coming from Drew Goddard.
Careful when you say they're doing The Matrix again, because it sounds like they're remaking it, and that's not what's happening.
No. They're not.
Just another sequel.
Not like that.
In this day and age, I'm like, oh, they're remaking
it?
Yeah, okay.
Normally you say they're doing it again, that means they're remaking. But, yes, it is from Drew Goddard, who directed and wrote Cabin in the Woods, Bad Times at the El Royale. He also wrote The Martian and Cloverfield and World War Z. So, I like him. He's good. He's good at things.
I like Drew Goddard a lot. I also love The Matrix movies. I really liked the last one. I don't care what anybody says. Me and Cassie we saw eye to eye on that one.
Oh, I love it.
We love a good romance. And that's what that movie was. Peak romance. Yeah, I do remember seeing the headline and being like, are either the Wachowskis involved in this? And there's at least one. So I'm fine with this. I was getting a little nervous. This is one of those franchises where I'm like, I don't want it if the original creators are not involved.
I agree.
Because like, I don't feel that way about like Star Wars or like anything expansive of that level.
Right.
But The Matrix feels so like it's got to be somewhat approved by the original creators of it.
I agree.
And I can't explain why. I can't give you a solid reason why, but that is how it feels to me.
That's fair. That's an understandable feeling. I get that. To me, I just see a thing I like and a name I like, and I'm like, dope. I like The Matrix. I like Drew Goddard. I'm with it. So, yes, happy that Lana is executive producing. If she wasn't, I'd still probably be like, I'm with it. But obviously, we don't know a lot going on right now.
I think I also just am a huge fan of the Wachowskis' like work. I love The Matrix.
Sense8.
I liked Sense8. I love Sense8. That's where we're going with this.
Yes.
Sense8 is amazing. And there were so many Sense8 people in the last Matrix movie. Like, that's good stuff. Good stuff. I like Speed Racer. I love V for Vendetta.
Yes.
Just there's so much that I love from them. I don't think they directed V for Vendetta, but like they produced it, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Their name was all over it in the same way that Tim Burton's name is all over
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas. They wrote V for Vendetta.
Yeah, they wrote it.
Not directed. It was directed by James McTeague.
Got it.
But still all the same. I love that movie. I just love so much of what they do. So yeah, you say The Matrix, which was their brainchild, is coming back. I do want to hope that they are involved in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Oh, also, I forgot to list the TV credits. Drew Goddard created the Daredevil show, and he started his career writing on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So he's just got something for all of us.
Yo.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
Also, I want him to know that Bad Times at the El Royale was cinema.
Yes. Long-ass movie, but it is fire.
That was the movie that made me a Dakota Johnson fan, if I'm honest.
It wasn't 50 Shades?
I never saw those movies.
Oh, I saw them. They're hilarious. them. They are so much fun to watch and make fun of.
I think if reaction. I ever watched them, I would only watch them with you guys.
Yeah, those movies are not a good dom-sub relationship, but they are really funny.
It's like watching Twilight now, you know?
It's but it's poorly written fan fiction of Twilight. It's even better.
What's really funny about Twilight is I remember my cousin used to hate that. Like, she had read pieces of those books and she hated them, and she hated the fact that I like loved those books. And apparently she recently in recent years she watched those movies and she was like, you know what, the movies are actually entertaining. I gotta admit, like, they actually made some entertaining movies.
Dude, Charlie's the best part of those movies. Charlie in the first movie. That said, I don't like the first one, but the second one onward,
I love the first
one.
I like them. That's because you're a Jacob fangirl. Anyway.
No, it's because that's not what I wanted from my Twilight movie. I didn't want like the blue filter. I didn't want it to look all like edgy. I wanted it to just be a blockbuster movie because it was like a blockbuster thing.
It wasn't, and though. It had like an indie budget.
Yeah, it had like an indie budget. And then
it was
the second
an indie movie that became a blockbuster.
Yeah. But the second movie is when they were like, no, it's a blockbuster. Let's treat it like a blockbuster. And that's what I wanted. And that's mostly why I think I prefer the second one onward. Cause I was like, this isn't what I wanted from the first one.
Yeah. Well, they gave the first one $37 million to make it.
Oh,
well, the second one, they gave them $50 million. So
get that money up.
Yeah. $14 million more. Yeah. There's a little bit more you could do with them. Also, the first one, it was blue tinged and I wanted green because in the book they described green and I feel like there wasn't enough green.
They made these Twilight movies pretty cheap.
I think that was more money
at
the time.
Only the last two movies are made for more than $100 million. That's kind of insane.
But you know what? I think the trend was that budget at the time. Like,
no,
they would
that's
make
a very there's like 30 mil. I mean, maybe for that type of movie, I don't know. I'd have to go back and check all these box office numbers
because
like
I remember they started making them for a stupid amount of money within the last like 10 years, and that's when we were like, why are they spending all this money? What, like, when we could have like less money and more varied movies, like have movies be less of a risk. I just remember that became more of a conversation recently. But
oh no, it's a big conversation now. But even, I mean, Iron Man came out that same year and it was made for somewhere between 130 and 140 million. So
yeah.
Anyway, also it's made by Lionsgate, and Lionsgate,
they didn't have money like that.
A big company like that.
They didn't have money like that. Yeah, I remember.
Twilight was its big thing, and then they got Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Or wait, did they do Lionsgate? Was that Lionsgate? It was Summit.
Yeah, Summit. But Summit did Twilight too, I thought.
No, somebody did Twilight. Lionsgate did Hunger Games. I don't remember if they're the same, though.
Anyway,
all that to say, 50 Shades turns 10 next year, so movie reaction coming up. Valentine's Day, be ready.
Oh, no.
I am so down.
You guys are going to hear so many stories. You guys are going to hear so many stories about working at a movie theater during that time period.
Oh, my God.
I worked overtime that Valentine's Day that it came out.
Also, how do I put this? This is my revenge from you guys making me watch Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Mwah. I mean, I suggested it.
Doesn't matter. It's still revenge for me.
It's not revenge, though, because none of us are going into this like, oh, I love this thing dearly and this is going to ruin it.
That's true. We're here for the vibes.
I'm here for the content.
Anyway, I avoided that film for almost 15 years.
I don't even know how I'm going to get... I don't know how I'm going to edit that. Like, you know how much nudity I'm just going to have to... Well, blur.
Yes, it's going to get creepy.
I don't think they're that bad. The first one, anyway.
We'll find out.
I don't know. I've never seen them.
I think there's boobs.
We will find out. Day of.
Shout out to titties. Blur. Anyway, no transition. Going to different opinions. We have some comments. On YouTube, our last episode on Godzilla Kong, the X is silent. Comment from Bioria, the homie guy. He said, need to see this already. Yes, guy, go see it. If you haven't, you left this comment a while ago. You've seen it. But
did you see it?
It's a fun time. It has a kaiju suplex. That's all I've been saying since the movie came out. Kaiju suplex.
That is all you've been saying.
Also, uses a small monster as a weapon to beat up big monsters. It's great. Yeah, so I also left that comment on Instagram where we responded. So I think he really, really needs to see this movie. Or he did. I don't know.
Much appreciated.
Shout out to guy. Moving to TikTok on the post of X-Men 97 and Mama Madeline, we have a comment from, their name is Gojo's Bottom Half. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it's reference to. I don't know who Gojo is. I don't know what bottom means in this context.
I think Gojo is a Jujutsu Kaisen character.
That's what I thought. The name is familiar. I don't know. To me, keep watching the show and tell us if Gojo's bottom means anything.
Gojo is a character in Jujutsu Kaisen. One of the main characters, actually. One of the leading four.
All right. Well, Gojo's bottom half says, in relation to Cyclops in the scene, says he really moaned with it too.
You're not wrong. He did, though. And that's what's crazy. No. That's the crazy part. That's the crazy thing.
He did. He 100%.
Everything about that moment is crazy. That whole scene is nefarious work.
Nefarious. Absolutely.
You know they were like, wait till they get this heat.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Jennifer Hale walked out of that booth like LeBron after scoring for 60 points. Anyway, that's been different opinions.
Don't forget Jennifer Hale posted you on her story.
Shout out to Jennifer Hale. You heard me kind of thirsting over your voice. So shout out to you. Thanks for sharing.
We were also complimenting the voice acting in that clip, though. Yes. So.
Thank you for sharing our post and liking my story. It made my day because you're one of my favorite voice actors. And that is the podcast. We did it. We did the thing. Woo. Y'all listened to the thing.
We got it.
Thank you for listening. As always, Crown Digital, Brandon and Io, thank you for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Demi, thank you for editing. Thank you for putting us on YouTube, finding a timer for Zoom that we could ignore. Going to see Monkey Man.
Yeah, we keep ignoring it. Please stop. We have to stop ignoring it.
We're going to slowly get better as we get used to seeing it. But yeah, thank you for going to see Monkey Man so you can talk about it. And for being here physically, even though mentally you are with one of your favorite white women over at Coachella.
Ma'am.
No, sir. We're not there yet, but sir. We got like 10 minutes.
It's true. Let's wrap it up.
Wrap. Anyway.
Let's Renee wrap it up. Right. Anyway, Gabby, thank you for coming through for the vibes. Sharing your, what was it, Beast Bussin' book that you're talking about?
Oh my gosh.
What? ACOTAR. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. You see us bussing through the door and the walls and all that? I listened. Sure. I remember.
Kool-Aid Man. He Kool-Aid Man into that apartment. He Kool-Aid Man into
anyway.
Somebody's cabin. Always bussing. Cassie, thank you for your 10-minute take on Degrassi and coming through for the vibes. You be here for vibes and 10-minute takes. We love it. We love you. Audience, anyway, what'd you think of Monkey Man? What'd you think of Invisible? Invincible. Why'd I say invisible? Did you watch the new X-Men episode? Did you weep? Are you sad like me? Talk about it. Let us know in the comments or hit us on Twitter at @y'all_different, Instagram and Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast, Facebook.com/Creative Differences PC, and TikTok at Creative Differences Pod. Woo. If you want to trauma bond with me over that X-Men episode, find me on Twitter and Instagram at @AKingNamedSybil.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought it was somebody else first. You can find me, Gabby, at Segosoria on Instagram.
Okay. Come talk to me about, this is going to be a weird poll, but the movie Old, because I watched it recently and it is quite possibly the worst cinematic experience I've ever had. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sassy Sooth there.
Abby Lee's in that movie. Come talk to me about Renee Rapp or Tori Kelly, because between my two pop girlies, I'm winning out here. You guys can find me on Twitter at @Demi_Joie. Joie is spelled J-O-I-E. Thank you guys for joining us. Tune in again next time. I don't know when that'll be, but tune in again next time. We will be talking about the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes.
And then we will be disappearing because I will be gone for a weekend. So.
Hey.
Yeah.
Vacation. All right, yeah. It's been different. Bye.
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 All right, this tag is for those who watched Degrassi. I guess that's just not Cassie. That rhymes. Going around, Gabby, to me, what was your most memorable Degrassi moment watching the show? I'll start. Manny pulling her titties out at that party.
Oh, wow.
There was an episode where one of the characters, she took pictures of her boobs and then she sent them out and they got all over the school. I don't remember her name, but I was like, what is going on in the show? It was like one of the first episodes I'd seen.
Pretty much happened with Matt. How many times did they do that?
I don't know, man.
All right.
The first one that came to mind was traumatic, and I'm not going to say that one on the podcast. I'm going to say, not that one either. I'm going
Jesus
to say, it depends. I feel like the second one that came to mind isn't that important. I'm going to say the moment that I found out that there were two episodes that were banned in the US because they were episodes about abortion. Because that's the time period we were living in.
That is the time period we were living in.
Still living in, technically.
True. True, true, true. There's also the time that Drake got his back blown out in that school hallway. But you know, that's also, that's an easy one.
That was a moment. Yeah, I started wearing Adidas like all the time because Alex wore Adidas.
I love
it. It was a thing. It was a whole thing.
Love it.
Bye.